Hello, welcome to Fave This. This is a podcast about internet culture and fandom and video games. I am Gita Jackson, and I'm joined by...
Patricia Hernandez. Hey, how's it going?
It's going really good.
Gita, I have a question for you. How do you feel about cardboard?
I always feel like I need more cardboard, honestly. That's not even a joke. I always look at, like, whenever I look at the things that I own, I think about them in terms of how many boxes would it take to pack this all away.
Okay, okay.
More boxes than I have at all times.
Yeah, so this week we want to talk a little bit about the Nintendo. How do you pronounce it? Labo?
It's Labo. Labo. Don't make me say this. What Labo sounds like, because you know what it sounds like, and I don't want to say it. Labo.
So, do you want to tell people what this is in case somehow they miss the big news?
Oh my god. So Nintendo Labo is this new Nintendo project that looks really cool. It's sort of a tinkerer maker toy for kids and presumably for classrooms, where you get a cardboard kit and you can cut it out into shapes, and you can make it into different objects like a fishing pole or a little piano, at its most extravagant, like a robot box. Mm-hmm. And you can use those to play games with a Nintendo Switch. And it all looks amazing.
And it, like, kind of teaches you, like, I guess, is it robotics technically? Or, like, what is it that it... It's... I guess I'm not entirely clear, but it has some educational... It tells you how the thing works, like, once you build it.
So it will... One of the things they showed in the little trailer they did was they took apart... They would show the things working. They would show a kid wearing the robot suit, and they would show it working. Mm-hmm. But then we take the back off and see, like, okay, now this has strings with pulleys on it. Mm-hmm. So that's how you figure out how to make this whole contraption actually work. Mm-hmm. So you're learning a little bit about physics and geometry and, you know, construction, like just engineering, general engineering tools. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of toy that's very popular with middle school, high school age, classes, teachers. I know my old friend Sam, who was on the podcast with me back in Chicago, with this guy named Patrick Klevick. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I don't know who
that is. he was worked at an after school program, and he was always trying to get in 3D printers and different kind of tech tools like Raspberry Pis, so he could teach kids about STEM by allowing them to create things. So these mm-hmm. like maker tools are things that are very popular, and it's very smart for Nintendo to get into this market.
So we're not usually too newsy, but I think there's an interesting fan aspect to this, because before they showed it off, there was kind of like a teaser announcement where they were like, and now... I'm paraphrasing, but it was like something like, and now for something completely new for kids and the young at heart or something like that.
Yeah.
And of course, like, even it was kind of to temper expectations, right? Like, I feel like normal people read this as like, they're going to announce something for kids. But of course, I feel like there's just like this cluster of Nintendo hopefuls or like diehards or just very, very desperate fans who are always kind of hanging around for like one of three announcements, and it's like it's usually Metroid, but Metroid was actually announced. So
those guys can rest they can slumber for another decade. They're okay.
Or it's Mother 3 fans who are always just like, when is it coming? When is it coming? When are you bring it over? And then, of course, I think the big ones are always the Smash people that are like, when is this version of Smash coming out?
Yep.
Are we getting a Smash port? Are we getting a new Smash Bros?
Yep.
And I just saw this weird discourse where like people were making all these elaborate theories as to why it had to be Smash Bros, and you're
That's
just sitting
so
there
weird.
Like, but you do this for every time, can't have convincing reasons why it's Smash Bros, but okay, sure, this one's gonna be Smash Bros.
Yeah.
And of course, then they showed it off, and I think almost everyone reacted with just a little, like, just initial confusion.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching the trailer, and I was like, is this like the intro to the Kanye West song with like the one bit piano note?
Yeah, is this Runaway but for babies?
Yeah.
I remember, like, I was working late, so I didn't actually catch it live, but I had one eye on our Slack, and like the general reaction from everyone was LMAO, what the fuck. just like bewilderment was the initial response to it. But afterward, after if you want to really take a look at what it is, it's fucking awesome. It's fucking real cool.
And I know, you know, some people have this reaction of kind of like, well, there are other companies who have been doing this in the kids sector for a while. Like, yeah. I think Paul used to work with some people who apparently made something very similar to this. But I think, you know, because it's Nintendo and because they're integrating it with, like, their video games and because the Switch is so hot and because also they're just so good at, like, making toys. Like, so many of their games can kind of be described as, like, little, like, toy boxes or playhouses. You look at things like the Toad game that's, like, it kind of looks like you're manipulating this little toy, or even just Mario Odyssey kind of feels like you're interacting with like this larger toy.
Yeah, I mean, what really struck me once I was in the middle of watching the trailer was the actual paper craft you're doing is so similar to the virtual paper craft and yarn craft that you do in like the Yoshi and Kirby games.
Yeah, I guess, you know what? I hadn't even considered that for a long time now. Nintendo's been very like invested in kind of physical things. Like you have all these Yoshi and Kirby games that are like, here's some yarn, here's some clay. Like
the new Yoshi game, they have the same thing where you can play the front side of the stage that is like a paper craft stage, and then you can play the back side of the stage, which shows you all the pulleys and levers, how it all works.
And I can't remember exactly which franchise it was, but it might have been Kirby, where they kind of had this developer diary and they showed you like they actually built this. Yeah. Like the developers actually paid around with toy. And, you know, I'm, like, not a game designer or anything, but a lot of the good ones that I've met always talk about, like, actually make, like, before the process of making anything digitally, they usually, like, you know, cut out little pieces of cardboard and whatever and paper, and they, like, they prototype physically. So I think it's very easy to, like, forget that a lot of video games have this kind of core that's, like, not digital.
Well, I mean, also Nintendo is still a children's company. Like, it's a company for, they make toys. Like, this is the kind of thing, I really like Star Wars, obviously. I really like a lot of things that are quote-unquote for children. I watch cartoons, et cetera, et cetera. But I remember, like, two of my friends, we were going out to dinner or something, and they were, like, having a long conversation about Star Wars, and it was keeping me from going out with them. Mm-hmm. So what I said is, Star Wars is a movie for children, which is, I know, like, sacrilegious. Mm-hmm. But when you look at what Nintendo does, they make things for kids. And kids love making shit out of cardboard. This is, like, kind of a no-brainer.
And it's really interesting to see how that brings up tensions, because, you look at a game like Smash Bros., and it's like, they're not trying to make a fighting game for adults.
Yeah.
They're not. Like, there's a reason that there are so many items and it's so silly and whatever. But, and yet...
That's the reason why the stages are so random and, like, it can get so slanted. Like, it's a party game that somehow, accidentally, there is an actual fighting game community surrounding it, you know?
I just think it's easy to lose sight of that because, you know, a good game will appeal very easily to both kids and adults, but also adults take their fandom like very seriously, and that's kind of how things go out of whack with Nintendo fandom in particular, I find anyway. But so there were people who reacted to this just kind of like psyched that they were like, yeah, I'm gonna quote unquote buy copies of this for my kid, and they don't have a kid, and you know, they're being like just like licking their lips being like, I wonder how much I can scalp this for, or I'm excited for it, but it's not because I actually want to play with it. It's more that I know that the internet is really crafty and I want to see what they build.
Because there's also, like, of course, there's additional peripherals that are coming out with their packs of cardboard. I looked up how much they cost today. Do you want to get depressed really fast?
Maybe.
It's like, so they're very complicated sets, and, you know, there's a lot of parts to them, but, like, you can get half the cardboard sets. One of them is $70, and the other one is $80.
Oh, of course.
So it's, like, they're, like, five or six in those packs, but they're, like, really expensive.
Right, and I think this was part of why some people were ridiculing it, too, because they were, like, are you really about to pay Nintendo, like, $80 for a bunch of cardboard? And, of course, it's not just cardboard, but you can kind of see that argument of, like, is this seriously what everyone's getting hyped about right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just cardboard in a lot of ways. Number one, like, it's all those pieces of cardboard comes with a new game, and also, like, the things that they were showing in the trailer, at least, were different ways to customize your little Labo guys. So markers and tape, like washi tape, is the one thing I was really excited for. They have, like, if they ever do branded, game branded washi tape, I'm just like, that's it for me.
Yeah,
like, I'm dead.
I won't buy the cardboard, but I will buy the washi tape just to use in other stuff. Like Animal Crossing pattern, like, you know, kind of the 3DS that has that pattern with Animal Crossing.
I really want that. I'd buy that in a heartbeat.
And you know it'd be like $19.99 for like one roll.
I'd fucking buy
it. I mean, there must be something about the Animal Crossing fandom, because like the games are a lot about, you can play it however you want, but I feel like the way that you're quote unquote supposed to play it is by collecting items. Like it's a very like, I have all these things that I put in my house and then I build my house to be bigger so I can put more smaller things. So it's a very like, I'm collecting things, the game. And even outside of the house, like you're collecting.
You gotta build a museum.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
so then
thing.
I think they know that the fandom likes doing that, because you look at the way that they sell things outside of the game and it's like, collect the cards, each of your villagers. And so
They know how what people want.
They know that
it's
Animal Crossing fans
of every single villager, and you should collect all of them.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And like Animal Crossing isn't one of their biggest franchises. It's not, but the fans that they do have are very
devoted.
Consumerist.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, this sounds so clinical, but it's like they're more, I feel like they're more likely to buy a thing, an Animal Crossing thing.
Yeah, we'll buy shit. It's the thing, because like, it's because it's a smaller fandom. Like, anytime they throw us something, we're just like, please more.
Yeah.
Please more.
Give me more things. Yeah. Yeah, we berate Tom Nook, but we secretly love him.
It's
like a metaphor for our relationship.
Capitalist.
With Nintendo.
That's basically it, yeah. God, just gouge you for a slightly larger house. But I mean, it's the thing about Nintendo, though, the thing that makes Labo look so fast, like so cool for me, is that they are so slick in their execution.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't going to come out and be half baked. You are going to make a robot suit, and at least for one day, you're going to wear it and feel like you are fighting in a robot suit.
Yeah, and you know what? So I don't know how much of it comes down to branding, because, like, I feel like their marketing department really has it this year, where you look at something like the Switch and the snap noise immediately became iconic, and, like, all of the imagery associated with the Switch, like the red that they use or whatever, was really good.
And the little square with the dots in it,
little logo. And then I think the same thing happened with this, where the way in which they unveiled it had a lot to do with, like, the music and, like, the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if we watched that trailer with different music, if everyone would have been as hyped
Tim
for
Rogers,
what it is.
Get on the case.
But, yeah, so you have these people who are excited, who want to build stuff, but then you also just kind of have people who are, like, pissed and mad that Nintendo isn't making a thing for them.
Well, okay, I think about this a lot. In the world of video game fandom, we actually inhabit a very, very small part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The most of the world that plays games, they have one console and they only ever get one game. Mm-hmm. They're the people that buy an Xbox and get FIFA. Battlefield. Do they get the one game?
Yeah.
Like, they get Madden, and that's it. Or Sims fans, they all always just get The Sims. They don't really play any other games. People who sort of explore a lot of different genres of games and sort of are gamers, call themselves gamers maybe, or even just are into talking about the business practices of Nintendo. It's a very small part of mm-hmm. the population.
And, like, obviously this is relative, right?
Yeah.
Like, that still might mean millions of people, but in, like, the larger scheme yeah. of, like, all the people who play video games.
So in terms of, very cynically, in terms of who could possibly be Nintendo's consumer base,
mm-hmm.
they would rather have all children across the world than... Mm-hmm. people who really want Super Smash. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will go to buy Super Smash as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't mean that Super Smash isn't important to them. It's just that there's more children in the world than Super Smash Brothers fans.
Yeah, and I think you see this in just their general philosophy right now, which is, you know, during the GameCube era, they chased a lot of what Microsoft and Sony are chasing right now, which is, like, more power, more graphics, and that's what the GameCube was. It was, like, their attempt at making a powerful console, and then, obviously, that didn't work. And then they made the Wii, and it was, like, more just broader general audience stuff. And I think with the Switch, they kind of had a similar thinking where it's, like, okay, so we know we have a baseline level of power that we can use to make great games, but we don't have to keep chasing this, like, ideal of, like, realistic graphics. Yeah. Like, I'll be honest, I look at something like the PS4 Pro or the new Xbox One that is 4K compatible, and I'm just like, I know that there is a difference, but I feel like I have to squint to see the, like,
yeah.
different, like, it's just such...
Yeah.
But then you look at something like Nintendo, and they're like, we're not going to try to give you a more realistic rendering of, like, grass in The Legend of Zelda. We're going to give you cardboard because we know it's more powerful for us to engage with your sense of play than it is with your like, your sense of, like, realism, immersion, or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, and I think a big part of Nintendo's, like, game design philosophy is about play, especially if you look at the sort of the Nintendo IP games that have come out for the Switch. The Zelda is really just giving you a giant toy box, like you said earlier, and allowing you to create your own sort of gameplay missions within it. It's their take on an open world game, but mm-hmm. it's way less directed than an open world game. It's like playing make believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Super Mario Odyssey feels like the same way to me. You're supposed to do something in each level, and, you know, you have sort of this guided platforming, but it really rewards you for going off that beaten path and playing around with the different mechanics as you learn them.
Yeah, it's like so much of the design comes down to, it kind of feels like someone at Nintendo sat down and was like, how is someone going to fuck around in this level?
Yeah.
Like, what are the, like, weird yeah. things that they're going to try to do? And then they, like, build for it. Whereas I feel like you look at just pick any modern AAA game for the PS4 or the Xbox, and, like, it's more likely that the developer would be like, we spent weeks recreating the mountains in Brazil so you can murder all the whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, okay, that's impressive.
We put motion rig on a goat so our yeah. goats are more realistic.
Oh, man. Do you think Kojima, like, did something special to, like, capture the horses shitting?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. How could he not?
Advanced telemetry, photography.
Yeah, the horse shit.
1,000 cameras to just capture the way the ass clenches to look.
He called in Laura Bailey.
Oh my god!
To voice the horse shitting.
Jesus.
Yeah, but Nintendo, I feel like, or like, you'd look at something like, God, I'm trying to remember the last time I accidentally ran into something in, like, Zelda or Mario. But it's happened. Like, I was just okay. One time in Zelda, I was, like, sincerely just trying to get away from a lightning storm that was kicking my ass. Like, mm-hmm. it was destroying me, and I was like in, like, I was about to die. And then the lightning hit a particular part and I saw of the mountain I was on, and I saw rocks fall down. And I was like, oh, shit. And there was a shrine in there.
Oh.
And I had just gotten, you know, I had won the shrine while I was running away from a lightning storm.
Was that how you're supposed, like, what?
I don't know if that was how you were supposed to do it, but that's how I fucking did it.
Nice, nice.
And I just feel like, you know, a lot of games, accidentally winning a shrine is not something that they would accept, you mm-hmm. know. This has been talked to death about this game, but I think it's like a good example of the sort of the ethos that the Switch has brought forth, which really makes sense with something like the Labo. I feel like Labo is going to run into this problem where maybe customization is not as possible as people want it to be, because mm-hmm. These machines have to work in specific ways in order to work with the games. But I feel like there's a lot of really creative people on the internet, and
they'll find a way.
There's a lot of engineers on the internet mm-hmm. that have access to Twitter accounts,
and especially because, you know, because this is already a thing, I think people already kind of know how to fool around with cardboard. I have no doubt that people are going to build like even more elaborate robots, and it's just going to be absurd.
It's going to be amazing.
And even if they don't, just knowing how crafty people are and how just artful people are, I'm sure people are going to be like painting their stuff in like
Who's
really elaborate ways.
Who's going to be the first person that makes the Diva Nintendo Labo robot suit?
That's going to be amazing. It's going to be just the modding scene is going to be out of this world. Because they're already modding, like, you know, you look at the Switch and people are doing all sorts of things with the Joy-Con.
Oh, the Joy-Con mods are out of control. I've been thinking about getting a second pair with the clear purple Game Boy ones.
Can you just buy them?
You can just buy them. People figured out what goes inside a Joy-Con and they started just making them on their own. I think it's actually not that difficult to put them together.
Yeah, I think Fahey
did one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he only messed up one part. He said he screwed up his shoulder button, but he said it was like not that difficult to do at all. So I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. So I kind of predict that the Labo is going to like immediately sell out, kind of just in the way that a lot of Nintendo things do immediately. Like it's going to be hard to get one.
I might as well pre-order my $60 box of cardboard. Right now.
So, and the thing that makes me think this, aside from the fact that that people reacted to it largely well on the internet, at least in my corner of the internet, was that I was at a bar last weekend with like a group of women who are like not nerdy. They're like all jocks who like love talking about football primarily and like soccer. And we were just like, I can't remember what we were talking about, but it, like, again, to stress, these are like not nerdy people. But then suddenly someone was like, did you see the Labo? And then they, like, were just bringing up the, like, trailer and being like, I'm so excited to, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, wow, I've never heard you guys talk about anything technology related, but, like, here you are.
You escaped.
Yeah, I didn't even bring this up. And they were just, like, thrilled about it. And they were like, I can't wait to build a little piano. And, of course, there were a couple of people who were like, isn't that just cardboard? But, like, the majority of the table was like,
everybody
I can't
likes to build
wait
things.
For this.
I think everybody likes to build things. I think that it's just something so satisfying is to start a project and finish it.
It's just way more legible than, like, you know, you give someone a controller, they're going to have trouble, like, figuring out how to walk and, like, look in the right direction.
Yep.
But, like, they can understand the cardboard builds house.
Yeah.
The cardboard is in house shape, you know?
See that? That's a little man with the Joy-Con on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they understand this is a fishing pole. They even understand, you know, this tab A goes into slot B.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that most people can get. Although, building furniture has taught me that I know a lot less about the construction of objects than I think I do.
Every time I have to build a piece of furniture, God. I just marvel at, like, how anyone thought of, like, how to put things together and, like, what the...
Oh, God, what always gets me... drawers on rollers, man. Once you see rollers, whatever you're going to build is going to take at least 4 hours longer. It just will, because you're going to put on at least one set of rollers backwards.
Oh, God.
Then you're not going to know which set it is.
I wonder if Nintendo has actually created, like, all these elaborate Labo, and we're only seeing the, like, the less hardcore of them, and then they're going to start unveiling, like,
fucking airplane. Yeah. That would be amazing. I would love to see them continue to come out with, like, tier two Labo. Because I definitely like the sort of little toys. I'm going to get the piano. Like, that's just a foregone conclusion at this point. I am going to get and build that piano. It looks way too dope. It'll look great.
I mean, just think about it. Yeah, if you just put it like somewhere in your house, someone's going to come over and be like, this is a cover.
What's that?
Yeah.
That would be a really good move. If you need a move with a date, I feel like.
Just put it somewhere that they're absolutely going to see it and, like, memorize a song beforehand. Just
definitely.
I built that. Let me play you a song.
Oh, yeah, totally. The beginning of Runaway.
Yeah, just start playing the one note over and over again.
I love Kanye West. Like, oh, did you hear? They named their daughter Chicago West.
Oh, I didn't know it was a girl. Okay.
I thought it was, is it? Yeah, it's a girl.
I don't know. I just didn't look it up.
Oh, because yesterday I saw this great tweet that was like, someone was saying, I tried to criticize the name Chicago West as if my name is not Dallas. And someone had quote tweeted that and was like, yeah, my mom tried the same thing. My name's Denver.
I've actually never heard that name for a person.
Denver's, like, not a bad name. Hmm. Well, Denver was named after a person. Last name, though. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard Denver as a first name.
I kind of like it. Shout-outs to you, Denver. But, yeah, in the replies to that, someone was saying, Chicago sounds more like a boy's name. Like, words are made up.
Yeah, whatever,
names
man.
Aren't real. Shut up.
Celebrities name their things. Their kids, like, things like Apple.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know.
Ugh, Gwyneth Paltrow. What a lady.
Apple's not a terrible name, but
cute.
It's a very white name, but yeah.
Yeah, Apple's at least like a really cute name.
Yeah.
That as an adult, like if she has to go into, if she's going to be a lawyer, she's going to have a hard time. Your attorney, Apple Paltrow.
Oh.
It's going to be rough, but I think it at least is a name that like is a word that people can immediately
understand.
Say and spell. Chicago, I think, is a really good name because the nickname is Shy.
It's just
so cute.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's cute. Whatever. No, it's also Kanye. Like, what are their other kids' names?
Northwest.
Yeah.
And what is it? King? Or something? It was a royalty-related name.
Hmm. But yeah, they just have great names.
They
do.
Northwest, see, is adorable. She seems like a great girl.
I love seeing, I think it's, is it her, the one that, like, the paparazzi have taken pictures and she's just kind of like scowling like
Kanye
too.
Yeah, she was coming back from her ballet class and she was scowling and had her hand over her face and said,
like,
no pictures, please.
Oh,
she got it from daddy.
Do you think she's going to get a Labo?
Absolutely.
Kanye loves games.
Yeah, man.
What if he like ports his game to the Labo?
I'm still here for that Donda West game, you know?
Yeah, where is it?
I want it. I want it on Switch.
Maybe, I feel like it's probably done, but he's just like, the world isn't ready for this.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
Well,
who knows?
That's usually the world isn't ready.
Yeah,
a lot of people made fun of it, and actually that made me really upset. Because it was not that long after Donda had died. His mother had died. And his dad's
mother. I think people are just like primed to make fun of anything he does, even if it's
still gonna
serious.
Buy his fucking records.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. You can make fun of his shoes, you can make fun of his clothing lines, God, Lord knows I have, but he's not even as eccentric as a lot of other really famous white people.
He's not really, like, eccentric.
Yeah.
It's just he actually says what he feels.
Yeah. He is talented, and he's not pretending he's not talented. Mm-hmm. And I know that throws people off. He's not as talented as he thinks that he is, but his brand of narcissism is not as extreme as people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not hurting anybody. He just has an inflated sense of self-worth.
He just wants you to recognize that he's dope.
Yeah.
That's all.
You know, a lot of the time he is dope. He seems dope. Seems like a nice guy. I really liked the one thing that when someone was asking him, like, falling in love with Kim, like, what was that like? And he was like, you know, here I am, this guy, don't have a mother anymore. And I meet this woman whose family is really important to her, clearly, and who's doing her own things, making her own money, clearly has her life together. And of course, you're like, in the situation that I was, that's going to appeal to me. And like a very adult, mature way of like looking at their relationship. I think people, you know, people misjudge him. I don't want to be like a stan because I know that he has done some fucked up. I'm a little bit of a stan though. I know he's done some fucked up shit. Like I think that line about I think me and Taylor might still have sex is actually really funny, although I know it's very mean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I think people took that too seriously. I feel like he wrote it with the intent to provoke, and that's exactly
absolutely.
What it did.
100%. Which is why he called her to tell her about it.
Right, because like. I don't think he wrote that seriously thinking they're actually going to sleep with each other.
Well, it's the bombastic idea. It's the irony. Well, it's this thing, like, we don't give Black artists a chance to employ the same sort of literary techniques that we allow white artists. So mm-hmm. Nick Cave is an Australian singer-songwriter. He's fucking great. Mm-hmm. Love him. He has an album called Murder Ballads that is all just different murder ballads, some original, some covers. He has a great one with Kylie Minogue. They dated for a while. It was really cute. Mm-hmm. And then I remember just when Tyler, the Creator, was up and coming, people got so fucking fucked up about him, his homophobia, which granted, you know, that's fine. Please get fucked up about homophobia. But like, there was like talking about the violent imagery in his songs. And I was like, so many songs are about murder. Like, mm-hmm. so many songs are about murder. It looked like a very famous Rolling Stones song is about raping a Black slave.
Oh, Jesus.
Brown Sugar. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's like, if you get freaked out at a 16-year-old employing the same literary techniques as, you know, your average beat novel, then I'm sorry. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like, these people are actually intelligent enough to be doing it on purpose. Mm-hmm. The thing with Kanye in that line is, like, he was intentionally trying to provoke, but also was sort of, it's an ironic line, you know. What he's saying is, even after everything, even after I fucked everything up and made a fool out of myself, I think she still hit it, though. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a joke. Allow a man to make a joke.
Yeah, I just...
Anyway, we were talking about Nintendo Labo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So someone asked us what games we think should have Labo functionality, or like if we were to design a Labo thing for a game, what would it
fishing
be?
Fishing mini game in Zelda with a Labo.
Oh, yeah, and I guess they already have the fishing mini rod. What else?
That would be so good. And then let's see. If they ever brought Animal Crossing to Switch, which yeah, they so, should.
So that's what I was wondering, if what the house is going to be for somehow.
Oh, like, I think you should be able to use it for decorating. You should be able to like build like things that like little pieces of cardboard like that are this is bed. Because they already do the top down grid decorating.
Or even just like if you paint it red, that it should be able to tell it's red, and then your game
becomes... That would be really cool. Or you can make custom wallpaper
because they already have the thing where you can like draw on the 3DS or whatever, and then it comes up in the game.
So many possibilities just opened up in my brain.
what else
God. Let's see, I definitely, there's got to be some ways to find new moons using Labo.
The only thing that comes to my mind is Nintendogs or Nintendcats. And I was thinking about this because my cats absolutely love tearing the shit out of cardboard. Like, I literally cannot open a box without my cats coming over and starting to bite the cardboard.
Oh my god.
So I'm just like, all right, just make me a Labo scratching post.
That would be so much fun. That would be amazing if like they, because cats also love screens. They love to look at things that are on screens. So if there was like a scratching post game where they could play with something, cats would get it. Cats are smart. Cats are pretty smart. I was just thinking about all the times I've watched cats accidentally fall off things, but
They're not very great, graceful sometimes, but, you know.
They're good.
What else? All right. Let's go through their big games. Mario.
Mario. What? There's got to be a new way to possess something using the Labo, right? There's got to be.
Yeah. What if you have, like, the Cappy and you, like, throw it on objects in your house?
What if it's, like, yeah, there's, like, an object in your, not in your house, but, like, there's an object in the game that is actually you control by controlling the Labo in your house.
Or they had something, too, where one of the house things had something you could press on and then it kind of, like, jumped. So I wonder if it's, like, you can kind of, like, control Mario, of like, make him jump with the physics of the thing.
That would be maybe cool. It would be cool if they did the Mario Maker on Switch with Labo stuff.
Oh, shit. Yeah, and you build the levels in real life.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Like, you have a set of, like, here's the bricks and here's the hills in the background and the clouds and
here's a cannon and you know here's a Goomba and, you know, just put them in an order and the Labo will figure out and put it on the screen and then you can play it. That would be really cool. That would be really fun for kids too, because then they could understand how level design works, like by touching it. Because I know abstractly it can be difficult for children to understand how this is has a relationship to the, like one object has a relationship to another object. But when you can touch it, it makes it much more clear for them to be like, oh, if he jumps on a slightly high platform, he can jump off of that to a higher platform.
Mm-hmm. What about Kirby?
I didn't ever play much Kirby. I'm sorry.
Any things for Kirby to eat? Yeah, I've been playing. I feel like I should ask Steven this question because he's a big Kirby fan.
He's the which number I one wouldn't Kirby
have
fan.
Yeah, which I would not have guessed.
Steven is just full of surprises.
What
let's
else?
See. Yoshi. Let's see. That's another platforming thing, really. But and the basically the Nintendo Labo for Yoshi is the new Yoshi game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's that. Zelda. I feel like a fishing mini game with the Labo fishing rod would be unstoppable in Zelda.
Or even just like a lot of physics things. I feel like there must be something that they can build where it's like, you fuck with this in real life and then the physics of the game go wild and just...
Yeah.
Because you know how there's, like, you can build contraptions where it's, like, now you have, like, an airship and I feel like they could probably find a way to make it so that, you know... Or, like, what if instead of putting on the robot, you're putting on, like, a divine beast and you, like, control the divine beast somehow?
Oh, that would be really cool. That would be really cool with a robot suit. That would own... If it was, like, a mecha divine beast where they all combine.
Or what if... Because you know how some of them are, like, really elaborate? What if you're, like, interacting with a physical shrine?
Oh, wow.
Like, you know...
Because everyone hated those mini-golf shrines. Mm-hmm. What if it was, like, using the same kind of gyrometer stuff, but it was something that you had made in the Labo, so it was a little bit easier to... Control.
Yeah, so Luke posted this thing. I don't know what it's called, but it's like it's kind of like basically like a Zelda shrine, and you like get a little sphere to just like go through this like mini Mario themed theme park. And I feel like they could do the same thing with a Zelda shrine where you're just like trying to get like a little sphere to from point A to point B, which is basically what some of the gyroscope things in the
that would be really cool. That would be really cool if there was a Labo shrine, basically. Mm-hmm. That would be fucking dope. I just, like, every time I think about something cool they could make with the Labo, the possibilities are endless. And we haven't even seen the real thing. And, I like, already, just the piano, I just keep thinking about it and just blows my mind. Because it's not like it's a complicated instrument, the piano. It's complicated to construct.
Mm-hmm.
It's only giving you a portion, like, just about one scale of notes to play, but... That still means you have to build all the keys and has the minor and major keys. And it's blows my mind that they made that all work and that I can just make that. And that's kind of magical.
Nintendo, how do they do it? I mean, yeah, I think that's always
that's the goal kind of been with their Nintendo.
Thing, magical. Yeah,
to transport you. And it's
and the fact that they can do it regardless of like what they're using, whether that's clay or cardboard or some digital like landscape is really a testament to just their artistry.
Well, it's if you set out just to make a really good toy, I think it actually guides you your sort of vision in a gives you constraints basically. A lot of the time when I look at certain games that are really, you know, acclaimed or technologically impressive, Horizon Zero Dawn, I, like, bounced off of. I really liked it in a lot of ways. I liked the story a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. The writing was surprisingly really good. And it was really beautiful to look at as well. The clothes are really good.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came to actually playing it, I was like, this doesn't feel like a good toy in the same way that Zelda feels like a good toy.
Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting because their background was like kind of like a toy maker slash card maker, right?
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting to me how play, how well toys capture this kind of ephemeral way of playing that a lot of video games kind of struggle to. Because I feel like a lot of times games give me plenty to do and it's like, but it's not inherently fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like Nintendo understands like, you know, you look at something as simple as like taking a ball and bouncing it, and the thing that makes it, like the physicality of it bouncing in a specific way, is what makes that action fun. And if you can manage to like translate that to a video game, say for example getting the arc of Mario's jump exactly right is like not that different from like figuring out what makes a ball
bouncing a ball against the wall and catching it. Or that you ever played with when you were like really little, those toys that are basically just a bunch of wire in different shapes and you push balls up and down them, essentially.
Oh yeah
like that. Did that sort of like bring you, when I would come up against a Bokoblin like compound where I could definitely see they were in the middle of a bunch of tall grass, and from like this vantage point I could shoot a fire arrow onto those barrels and light them all on fire, that kind of brought me back to that, where it's just like I'm setting something up and then I'm letting it go, and like just the satisfaction you get of seeing it go all the way down is entertaining in and of itself. And that's a toy. Like it's not just a game or something with a win state or a lose state. It's a toy. It's a situation for you to play with, and there's a bit of freedom in how you should or can play with it, but it is not out to punish you for doing it wrong. It's to reward you for exploring. And that's, I think, the point of toys. And I guess, you know, with Labo, what I'm concerned about is how hard are these going to be to construct?
That's why I'm probably not going to get one. I'm like intimidated by this thing.
That and your cats are going to destroy it. But
Well, I have a good excuse, but I'm just intimidated by my inability to actually build this thing. Whereas if you give me this extremely dense video game that'll take 12 hours, so I'll be like, yeah,
you are playing down in Divinity 2 right now. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just not good at. I'm just never like an art kid or anything like that. So that's where I'm coming from.
Once it actually is out, remind me to email my friend who does after school stuff with kids and see how the kids are taking to it, because I'm sure he is gonna get one.
We should buy a bunch of Labo and then give them to a bunch of artists and be like,
yes,
make something weird. Yeah,
I could actually make that happen for you. I'm gonna put that on the back burner. I'm gonna see what I can do about that, because that would be really fun. So I think that's it for this week. So thank you for listening, dear listener. You can find us at Kotaku.com. That's where our writing lives. Also, on Twitter, I'm XOXOGossipGita, and Patricia's XPatriciaH. If you want to get in contact with us, you should email us at favethis@kotaku.com or tweet at either of us with hashtag favethis. We want to thank Levi Sharp, who is listening to us in the studio right now, making sure we sound good. Also, executive director of audio, Mandana Mofidi, and Stuart Wood, who does the music that plays during commercials, and Mellow Mix, who does our theme song. Thanks for listening again, and see you next week.